Azriel, Shalom, are you able to hear me? Can you hear? Said, good. Chavre, I hope you could hear me, even if the machine is working, my throat's not working. So I hope that you're able to hear me. I'm only gonna be able to talk for a few minutes. Usually, when I'm not able to talk, I say what's really on my mind. When I'm able to, when I have a voice, then it's not the same thing. So let me share with you what's a little bit a hergish of the heart and a thought that I have. I spoke to Rav Neuberger's shiur last week about this inyan. So if any of those chaverim are here, so they already heard this mahalach that I'm going to talk about now. Mamish for a few minutes. The Rebbe Hirsch Rimanava, Shusi Aleinu, Hirsch Rimanava said that when a Jew leaves the days of Tishrei, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres, and Chas Torah, when a Jew leaves the days of Tishrei, and he goes into the winter, into the Chayrif. It's like a person who's leaving a room that's brightly lit and that's warm and cozy. And he's going into a dark and freezing cold forest. And he doesn't know what to do. He can't go back. And he's dragging around in this cold, dark forest. But then all of a sudden he sees in the distance, he sees a light. He sees the light coming from a window. He sees the light of a candle. And he follows that light. And that light gives him hope that his place is not so far away. The place where he's going to, he's looking for, is not far away. And Reb Hirsch Rimanava have said that candle is the Chanukah candle. That's the candle of Chanukah. It's the inyan of the Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah, the Baruch Shalom revealed to us this nes and this yontif of Chanukah, that it would be for us through all of the long years of galus is the last yontif that we received, and that through all of the long years of galus, wherever we're going in this forest. This big forest. This forest, this dark and cold forest of Golus, Bichlal, for the Jewish people, or Bifrat, individually, but when a person goes through, the Baruch Hashem gave us the Yontif of Chanukah as that candle in the window. When we follow our way back and we find ourselves eventually back home, by connecting to that candle of Chanukah. And let's try to understand what this means. This Sfas in a number of places, Tafresh and Dalet, and other years, this Sfas spoke about the two qualities of a candle. That the candle is an Or HaMeir, it gives light, and it also is Soref, it burns, it's Mechameh, it heats. Warmth. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Zchusi Aleinu, he loved light. Whenever he would come into a room, he would ask for more candles. He wanted it to be more lichtig, it should be more light. And the Baal Shem Tov, who lived in such a cold place in the Ukraine, the Baal Shem Tov loved warmth. He would always ask also there'd be more warmth, there'd be more logs put into the fire, to the fireplace, into the oven, more coals, that it should be warmer. They say that when the Baal Shem Tov, before the Baal Shem Tov was made known to the world, before he was revealed to the world. You know, a story that we have, you know, he used to walk the children to cheder. That's what he did. It was called the behelfer. He was helping the Rebbe. He was like a teacher's assistant, Baal Shem. And we know he used to give brachas to the children. And he would put his hand, we're told in the Sfarim that he would put his hand on the child's heart. And he would say, Zolzaina, Zolzaina Vami Yid. You should grow up to be a warm Jew. Avami Yid. Avami Yid. They say that the Baal Shem Tov Kodesh was by the Bris of Rav Leib Saris. And that they didn't know who he was. He was still hidden at that time. And they brought the baby out and they didn't know who this strange person was. The Baal Shem Tov put his hand on the baby's heart. And he gave a brach, Zolzaina Avami Yid. And Rav Leib Saris never was able to wear a coat. Even in the freezing cold winter over there in Russia, in the blizzards, he used to go without a coat. And he said that, what could I do? I had such a bracha for the Baal Shem Tov, Mantake Avam Yid, Echman Avam Yid. And they say that even by his grave, that there's never any snow around his grave. Even after this world, his Avam Yid, he remains a warm Jew. So the candle has these two qualities. It gives light and it gives warmth. It gives light and it gives warmth. Those are the two qualities of the candle. This is a world. Golis is a dark and cold forest. In the Seder of Hanukkah, you're able to hear me? You're able to hear me? It's okay. And the Seder of Hanukkah, and the Yontav of Hanukkah, we see all the Achronim talk about this. They tumult a lot about this. But it's really, the truth is even the Rishonim bring this up, that we see that there's such a difference between the Al HaNisim that we say by davening, by benching the Al HaNisim, and the Hadlokas HaNer. By Al HaNisim, you've all learned this, and you've seen in different places. The Al HaNisim is very focused on the military victory, on the Nitzachon. That's what it's about. It's about winning a war. That's what it's about. Masha'ena came, the Hadlokas HaNer, there we don't even talk about the Milchama at all. By candlelighting, we talk about the nes of the Pach Shemen that was Munach B'chayis Moshel Kohen Gadol. We talk about the nes of Hanukkah, of the oil. So we understand that since we learned that a candle has these two qualities, that it's Meir and it's Mechameim, it gives light, and it's also a fire, it's warm. So we see that by Hanukkah, there were these two inyanim. A war, you know, the word milchama has the oisius cham, heat. A warrior is a lochem, because a Jewish soldier, ad hayom, even in these days, a Jewish soldier is fighting because he's filled with a fire of love for the Jewish people. A fire of love for Eretz Yisrael, a fiery love for the Baruch Shalom. Not all soldiers are religious these days, but of course, that's also there, that nitzaitz, that fire inside. So the war of Hanukkah revealed the heat, the warmth, the fire of that flame of the candles of Hanukkah. That's the inyan of the milchama. Even the word chashmanoi has the oisius cham enoishi, human heat and warmth. Cham enoishi is the oisius chashmanoi. That's the gevura, the fire, the heat, the warmth, the passion of Varma Eden. I've met over the years many chayalim, many soldiers who are not even religious, but they were Varma Eden. They were warm Jews. They didn't know about Yiddishkeit. They weren't raised with Yiddishkeit. But they're Varmayid, the warm Jews, on fire mamish. And the Maisa Nefesh to save other Jews. That's the military part of Hanukkah. The Varmkeit, the fire, the passion, the heat of the military victory. The nace of the Pach Shemen, that which we speak of by Hadlokas Aneiros. And we don't mention the war. Because when it comes time for Hadlokas Aneir, when we light the candle and we're looking at its light, that contains the light of the Argonis, the hidden light of creation, the 36 hours, like it's brought down in B'nai Sascha from the Peres Karitza and the Rekeach, the Maral, and all the Tzadikim, that the 36 candles of Hanukkah correspond to the 36 hours that Ad Mechava were able to use to see the Argonis that was hidden for the Tzadikim, the 36 Tzadik of every generation that stand in the presence of Hashem every moment of their lives, the hidden light. The Inyan of Hadlokas HaNer, we don't mention the war, we don't talk about the war. We talk about the Beis HaMikdash. We talk about that jar of oil that was sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. The Chayisma Shel Kohen Gadol means that part of us that's pure, that part of us that's never extinguished. The Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu L'Chaba Yisus V'Ahava. The many waters of the world cannot extinguish the love that a Jew has for God. There's a famous mimer from the Alter Rebbe from Balat Tanya. The Mayim Rabim is talking about going to work, being out in the work world. And how the Mayim Rabim, lo yuchlu l'chabayis es v'ahava, that a Jew, even in the middle of work, he puts everything aside and he gives a krechs and he goes and he says a mincha. Ay, ay, shei, shei, v'sech. Mayim Rabim, lo yuchlu l'chabayis es v'ahava. To extinguish that light, the nace of the Pach Shemen is about that part of us that is shining no matter what. It's that Or HaNeshama, it's the Or of the Beis HaMikdash. It's that light of a Lichtige Yid when you see a Jew. It's a Lichtige Yid if you have the Schus to ever be in the presence of a Tzaddik, of an Ish Kodesh. The Lichtigkeit, the light of a Jew. That Or Pnimi, it's Munach B'chayis Moshe Kohen Gadol. So these are the two ways that we celebrate Hanukkah. We speak of the miracle of the war, the Milchama, the fire, the passion, the Gevur, the strength, and the light of Hanukkah. Beis HaMikdash, Kahuna, Or HaNeshama, and so on. Because each and every one of you knows, and again, I'm saying things that Dvar Pshutim Ma'ayt. Each and every one of you knows that Hashem already told us at the beginning of creation, before we even existed as a people, before there was any person in the world, that in the future there were going to be four exiles. V'ha'aretz ha'yisa sohu v'avohu v'choshech al pnei sahayim. And each one of those four lashonos corresponds to one of the four exiles. And all of you know that Yavan, Choshech is Yavan. Choshech, darkness, is Yavan. Shechshich ha'ineim sheYisrael. Because the whole Indian of Yavan is darkness and coldness. The Yontiv of Hanukkah is in the winter, in the Chayref. It says in Tehillim, Kapitel Peites, Asher cherfu oivecha Hashem. Asher cherfu ikveis mashichecha. Hashem, your enemies, they insult you. They disgrace you. They insult and disgrace the anointed one, Mashiach Tzikein. Cherfu means busha and cherpa, means to disgrace, to humiliate. But it's a lashon of chayrif, of the winter. It's coldness. Yavan is not only darkness, but Yavan is coldness. And how are we to understand that? How do we understand that? The Greek civilization of ancient times was the most enlightened in the world. all that exists in modern Western culture is a hemshech of Athens, of ancient Greece. It was the most illuminated culture, filled with philosophers, scientists, mathematicians. It appeared to be a lichtige place, a place that was shining with light, that was illuminated. The Enlightenment in modern times was riding on the back of what began in ancient Greece and Athens. So it seems that on the surface of things, it seems that Greece was a place that was shining brightly in ancient times, and even now. Western culture, Western civilization. And as far as fire, passion, and warmth, nothing was lacking in Greece. Theater, Olympics, art, music. Greece was a world that was illuminating, shining bright, and was on fire with the passions of this world. Sports, theater, poetry, literature, and so on. But all of that light and all of that heat added up to the pasuk Asher Cherefu Oyvecha Hashem, Asher Cherefu Ikris Mashiachecha. It was the big winter of history. It was the onset of that cold, wintry forest that Rabbi Hirsch Rimanov was talking about, the Golus is. That began with Greece. Because all of the math and all of the science and all of the philosophy of Greece, like Rabbi Yehuda Levi said, cannot produce a Navi. It can't produce one of you guys. Not one. It can't produce a Lichtige Yid. It can't produce. Rabbi Yehuda Levi, when he spoke about ancient Greece, he said it's all about Ein Bo Peros, Ein Bo Pri, I don't know the exact lesson, Ela Prachim. There's no, it doesn't bear any fruit. It's only flowers. It's just flowers. It looks good. It looks like it's briny, bright, like it's shining and it's bright. It looks like it's lichtig, it's R. But all of that math, science, philosophy, all of the chachma of Yavin is a chachma chitzainis. It cannot produce, not only can't produce a navi, it can't produce emuna, it can't generate tefillah, davening. Tshuva, all of those are completely absent from the world of Greece, from the world of Yavin. There's no davening, there's no emuna, there's no tefillah, there's no nevuah, there's no v'tumim. That can't be in the world, in the illuminated world of secular wisdom. That can't be in the university part of Yeshiva University. Can't be. That part of the yeshiva is not able to make a person to a daib and a mensch, an elevated person, a soulful person, a balmides, a tzaddik. That part of university can't do it. It can inform, it can educate, it can enlighten one's mind. But it can't help you to overcome your Yetzirah. You understand? Putting it very simply. It's not going to help you when you're alone with your computer at 2 o'clock in the morning and no one's watching you and you make sure that the Baruch Shem's not in the room and you're looking on your computer and there's something that comes up over there or you brought up Chalila. Athens is not going to help you. All the philosophy, all of the science and medicine is gunishness health. It's not going to save you in that winter of that cold night of your galus. It never has and it can't. It's not capable of it. What about fire? What about the fire of Athens? What about the fire of the secular world? The fire, the passion, the warmth. Lo chaser. But that fire is a fire of taivus, mechu'arais, of ugly taivus, of passions that bring a person to types of behavior that when we were younger, never even heard of, that every day, the fire of the warmth of Athens, the literature, the music of Tavshin Pei Aleph, the music of 2020. I can't bear listening to what's called Jewish music. When you go to a simcha nowadays, that's not the noise that they make at weddings. That's filled with the taivas of Athens and Rome. The Jewish music is filled. I'm not talking about the chevre, you know, that play real Jewish music. I'm not going to start naming all my friends now. The music that you guys, I'm sure, are listening to. I'm talking about the fire of that cold Jewish music that is filled with the taivas of the street. Just putting words from a pasuk into it. And you think as you say, or a mishnah, you go, ben bag, bag, ben bag, bag, ben bag, bag, ben bag, bag. You think that you converted that filth into something that's holy. And then you have the nerve to say, yeah, but we see that there are nigunim of tzaddikim that they took from the Russians, they took from the Polish, and they made them into nigunim. So my answer to that is that when you'll be the Baal HaTanya, and when you'll be Rabbi Isaac al-Khalifa, so we'll have a conversation about that. Those songs that are being played at the weddings are not lifting up those nigunim. They're just descending together with those disgusting places. And that's what you see with the dancing in that, the whole moves in that. It's disgusting. That's a little thing in parentheses, I'm sorry. So all of the fire of ancient Greece and modern Greece, Western culture, is the fire of taivas. What was mythology? You know, did you ever have the misfortune? Were you required, when I was in school, we had to take some stuff in mythology. I don't know if they do that anymore. It's full of a desire. I don't know if you have to do that. But by Greek mythology, the gods themselves are balataiva. You know, you think that God would be better than you. In mythology, the gods themselves are killing each other for this one's wife, this one's the balataiva. It's a world of taiva. It's a world of heat, of warmth, of passion. What were the Olympics? Just guys throwing a ball around a little bit. It's a little tuma, avi ovis, tuma, what was going on over there. It's a little gilei rais and shvichas dam and mamish. But that's the world of Yavan. So it doesn't have the light of the Baal Shem Tov, doesn't have the hand of the Baal Shem Tov to be a varma yid, to be a varma mensch. It's all darkness, it's all freezing cold. So what's Chanukah? Chanukah is the light of the candles and the warmth of the candles. That's what Chanukah is. Chanukah means the light of a blad gemara. The light of a Tosfos, the light of a Rambam, of Ramban, of a Rashba, of a Bikivega, the light of Musa, the light of Chassidus, the light of Torah. Kinei Mitzvah v'Torah Or. The light, the Or of Seichel, that light of logic, the Seichel Eloki of Torah, that Seichel Eloki. And all of the chiyas, the choyim, the fire and the warmth of a davening, of tshuva, of a Shabbos, the Or HaNeshama, the Varmkeit of Yiddishkeit, the warmth of Yiddishkeit, the warmth of a Jewish home, the light of a Jewish home. The second you walk into a house, you can see it's a lichtige home, the wife lichtig, the children are lichtig, everything is shining. And you feel right away the warmth in that place. The warmth of that place. You see, this is a big sugya, and saying it b'derech hachsidus, not b'derech hamusa. And I already said 2 years ago by the Sichas Musa that that my own sichas and hatsichas musa the sichas chaveim. And I want to talk to you in such a way, sichas chaveim. To be a Jew means to have these two qualities of light and fire, the candles of Chanukah. That means, like David HaMelech says in Navi, David HaMelech was Ish Chayil Ashalibai Kelev Ha'arye. On the one hand, the Gemara says that David HaMelech was sitting and learning. It says in the Pasuk, Ido Atzani, that he was I'm not saying it, I'm not talking about the Tashans in the Pasuk, but when David HaMelech was sitting and learning, when he was in the light of Torah, he was the most delicate, refined Talmud Chacham. He was like Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you know, Reb Moshe Feinstein, humble and sweet and soft-spoken. But then when the Chevra came and told him, Rebbe HaMelech, we have to go fight, it's time for war. Then David HaMelech took out his sword from his bagish and Miskasha Ke'etz, he went to fight Mamish. He was the greatest warrior. He was a perfect combination of tzaddik and gibor. The light of the tzaddik and the fire of the gibor. The light of Torah and the gevurah of tefillah, of davening, of tshuva, of amuna, of Shabbos, the fire of a passionate Yiddishkeit. Not a cold Yiddishkeit. You know, one of the reasons that I hate so much that guys are learning Torah from computers these days, I'm not talking just about looking something up. They even use computers to learn from, is the computer is cold. How could you daven from a phone? Forget about anything in halacha. Yesh malaharach bezeh, vein kanamokim laharach. Not talking about halacha. How can a varma yid daven from a kalta telephone? And something that has also all kinds of fires potentially inside. I don't know how it works. The fires of all of the ancient Greece and modern Manhattan, Tokyo, and London. How do you daven from such a thing? One of the tzaddikim said that, you know, when you drop your phone, you don't kiss it. You have people that go in shul. There are thousands of siddurim that the people paid for with good money. You have beautiful siddurim. Ashkenaz, Sfaradi, whatever you like. The guy stands there with his phone. How do you understand such a thing? Such a hashpah of tuma. Cold and dark. David HaMelech was a varm yid, a Baal Shem Tov yid, davening. Zmiras, Nigunim. But with such a Torah, Ga'inis and Torah. Halacha k'maisa b'chol makom. Chazal say, David HaMelech was a huge poseik, was an adam gadol, but a varam meyid. And he told the Navi that there were 36 gibarim, 36 of his closest top elite commando group. There were the 36 gibarim of David HaMelech. Each one was tzaddik. They correspond to the 36 candles of Hanukkah. And the 36 tzaddikim of the generation. These were the giborim of David HaMelech. And who were the chashmonoim? Matisyo ben Yochan, Kohen Gadol chashmonoi ubanav. They were from the inner world of the light of Torah, from the light of Beis Hamikdash. They were yeshiva bachrim. They were talmid chacham. They were tzaddikim. When it came time for the covet of the Jewish people, when it came time for, and they screamed at Mila Shamelai, Hachazar Yasir Achaseinu, are they going to treat our daughters this way? Are they going to continue raping our daughters and raping Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim? And then those same yeshiva bachrim, those same chashmonoim, they picked up the sword and they went out, Mila Hashem Elai. The word chashmonoi equals the gematria of gibor and tzaddik together. They were giborim and tzaddikim. Gibor plus tzaddik equals chashmonoi. That's for the chashmonoim. They were filled with Torah, but not a cold Torah, not the Torah of Greece, not the Torah of the computer, not the Torah of somebody giving us some sort of a lecture on davening. You understand what I'm talking about? I don't know how to talk about it. It's hard for me to explain. If you understand, you understand. If you don't understand, that means you're stuck in the Athens. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, it means to avar me Yiddishkeit. I'm not talking about being a professor of Talmud. You understand? Or a professor of Jewish prayer, and to give a lecture on Jewish prayer. But it means that's called Ashecherfo Evech Hashem Shecherfo Ikvas Mishecherfo. Moshe Rabbeinu was our Rebbe. He was the one that brought down the Torah from Shammai. But the same Moshe Rabbeinu was Vayachas Amitzvi, that when Jews were in trouble, he went and he killed our enemies. He knew how to fight. What happened to us in history, you know what happened to us, guys? As a result of the terrible long winter, because we were oppressed by such miserable Greeks and Romans, and Germans and Polish, and whatever they were. So as a result of that, a split took place between the Gibor and the Tzaddik. You see that very much in Eretz Yisrael, where you have Jews that are completely secular. They worship the Maccabim. To them, Hanukkah is a time of Jewish pride and Jewish strength, the Maccabi, because they only identify with that part of the fire of the Hanukkah candle. That's what they like. Jews are not going to stand for this anymore. We're going to have our own army. We're going to fight, and so on. So that part of the milchama, of the war, where all of a sudden they identified with these individuals that Western civilization produced, like, you know, cowboys and superheroes and, you know, Rambos and, you know, that, but devoid of any light. Fire, passion, fighting spirit, but like, you know, superheroes. No Torah, no tefillah, no amunah, no tshuva. This is what the coldness and darkness, this is the effect of the coldness and darkness of Athens had upon our brothers and sisters, many of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. On the other hand, you have Mitzad HaSheni, you have other Jews who are, Baruch Hashem, filled with learning, filled with Torah, and they sit in Bis Medrash, they sit in Shul and Bis Medrash. They don't have a ruach of fighting in them. They look down upon Jewish soldiers. They mock and make fun of that fire. They feel completely detached from the whole inyan of the gevura of the Chashmonai. When we look back, like Rav Kook says, the glorious time where the Chafetz Hashem was revealed in our lives, when we look back on Tanakh, when we look back at our heroes from the days of Tanakh, like David HaMelech, and like Shaul HaMelech, when we look back at our heroes, Shimon, Levi, the Shvatim, they were filled with the two koiches of Gibor and Tzaddik. They were Giborim. Listen, Yehuda was a big yeshiva bacher. He was a big Rosh Hashiva Yehuda. Chazal say that the Laharis Lefan of Goshna, he went and started the yeshiva in Mitzrayim before the other brothers. But when it wasn't yet clear what was going to be with this Egyptian, he leaned over and he said to him, like Rashi brings down Chazal, if you're not going to work with us, my brothers and I are going to destroy the entire Egypt. Which is what happened with Shimon and Levi when they said, Achazani Asas Achazain. You think you're going to treat our sister this way? So Shimon and Levi, Giborim and Tzadikim, a Gibor and a Tzadik, a Gibor and a Tzadik. The integration of those two worlds, of the Gibor and the Tzadik, is the ideal Jew. Not somebody that sits and is afraid of his own shadow, that, like I said in Shul last week, you know, you see some guy driving a Montana. There's no cow for 1,000 miles, but he's got his mask on while he's driving a Montana, you know. It brought out this, the corona brought out from certain people. I'm not talking about people who are sick, low, who have issues, medical issues, but from healthy people brought out such like pachadonis, people, you know, some embarrassing people. I'm sorry to say, like chickens. I don't know. Pachdanus. I don't know how to explain it. Again, I'm not talking chas v'chalil, the old people, people not well. I'm talking about like pachdanim. Pachdanim. These guys are going to fight in Sahel. How are they going to fight with their mask on over their eyes and the nose and their mouths? So afraid. They're afraid that they're going to catch a germ from a 6-week-old baby someplace that's in the back of the shul. There's a lot to talk about this Indian, but I'm probably getting into trouble already, right? By this, the pachdanus. Where's the gevura of a Jew? Where's the gevura of a Jew? Where's the strength? Where's the courage? Where's the David HaMelech of a Yid? There's so many of this, so much weakness and vulnerability and pachdanus and so on. Pachad Amavitz, Rav Kook in the second Chelek of Arz HaKadosh, speaks a lot about this midah of Jews and Golas being pachdanim, being afraid of everything, being afraid. Which we know that the Davke, it says in the Pasuk, is a sheyagarti, that which I was afraid of came, and the ones who are most fearful, the ones who are most vulnerable to getting, God forbid, sick. Hashem Yirachem. The ones who are lacking most in Gevura are the ones who are most vulnerable to all sicknesses, psychological and physical. Hashem Yirachem. But to have Gevura without the light of Torah, without the light of Torah, so then what do you have? But the light of the Talmud Chacham, the aura of Torah, without the fire and the warmth of davening, without the fire and the warmth of Pnimius, it's also. So what is it? What is it? So Chev, I don't have time to tell you a story. I'm just going to end quickly with something that I saw from a tzaddik. Who was this tzaddik I'm talking about that I saw? Maybe I'll remember once I start. But one of the tzaddikim said that there are two ways to wake a person up. One way is with a loud noise, a rash. And the other is by suddenly turning on a light and waking him up with a very bright and powerful light. There are two ways to wake up a person. Rosh Hashanah is the Inyan Tkiya Shofar. Uru Yishani Mitad Mishinasch. In the Yidami Mitad Damasch. Rosh Hashanah is the Inyan to make a rash, to make the tumult, the noise. The noise of Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur of Tishrei. Shofar, to wake a person up. Sometimes a person can only wake up when there's a chalila, some terrible tragedy that he goes through in life, some tremendous noise, some pachad, some fear that he goes through. But Chanukah is another way to wake up a Jew. It's by something, a light in his life being turned on very, very brightly. By looking at that candle and seeing it in a real way. And there Hashem Nishmas Adam. The Chanukah candle, the light of Chanukah is a gentle and beautiful way of waking a Jew up, of waking each and every one of us up to see the truth, to know the truth, and to believe in the truth, and to be filled with those two kaiches of everything that Chanukah is. By Chabad, because now we're crossing the halfway point of Chanukah and we're going into heading towards the finish. He was a big tzaddik. He was a big chassid of the Baal Tanya, of the Alter Rebbe, Reb Shmuel Munkus. He's also very, very funny. A lot of stories about him. He's a huge Talmud Chacham and a big Oved Hashem, but had a big sense of humor, which is also, by the way, not a contradiction to being an Elchi, it's not a contradiction to have a good sense of humor, to make people laugh. So this Reb Shmuel Munkus, he was visiting some shtetl and he went into the cheder. They invited him to the cheder to test the boys in the cheder. And he asked the boys the following question. He asked them, what are you learning? They said, they're learning Bava Metzia. He says, fine. Which parak? They said, they're learning Shnayim Achsim. So, fine. So it says in the Mishnah, Shnayim Achsim Metalas. Zamer, Ani Metzia, Zamer, Zamer, Kulushli, Zamer, Kulushli. Each one says, I found this thing, the Shmat. The other one says, I found that this one says, Kulushli. This one says, Kulushli. It's all mine. The other one says, it's all mine. She says, so, but then when you look in the Siddur, it says by Halal, the words that have to be repeated, like Evan Masvabai, Mizayam Asa Hashem, Nagilav Nismachabai. So the first line is in big letters, but then afterwards the second one is in little letters. He says, so Reb Shmuel, I don't understand. When it comes to the Mishnah and Shnaimachs and Zayam Ani Mitzasiya, it repeats in big letters, Ani Mitzasiya. Zayam Ekula Shali is in big letters in the Mishnah. He showed them inside, look, Zameh Kulashali. It's in big letters. But when it comes to Halal, then it only starts off with big letters, but then afterwards it's small letters. That was the question. So the Rebbe of the boys in the Cheder, he looked at the Reb Shmuel and the rest, and they just... So he told that Maaseh was Chanukah. And he said, because when it comes to people and money, it's always in a loud voice and it's always capitalized. Ze omer ani mitzasiya. Ze omer kula shali. There it's always. When it comes to things of this world, it's with capitals. Even though it's the same words, it's capitalized. But when it comes to Chanukah, it starts off, everybody's very excited and the letters are very big. Ze yom asa Hashem nagilu v'nismachabai. By the second day, the letters start to get smaller. By the third day, they start to get smaller. And by the time it gets to Zayis Chanukah, you can barely see them anymore. The biggest bracha I want to give each and every one of you is that as the candles are getting a little bit less bright and as the fire is going out, that the fire and the light of Chanukah should stay capitalized in our lives, should be big, strong, to keep us awake, illuminated and warm until that day of Arichas Nelev and Yishayim Shichenu. The Gulash of Amitis, Mehavi Amin Amen Vamein. Everybody should have a Lechtig and a Vamach Hanukkah and a good Yontiv. All my love, my cult of.